The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflection. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they're a lot of fun to listen to, and they make you smile. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, hopefully before the end of this show. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, but most of us are thinking, how do I do that? Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? It's because I pay the bill. That's why we have one. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care, but for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So we're asking the question about that thing called living life as a Christian. How do you do that? It's pretty easy to do when you're in church on Sunday. It's pretty easy to do when you're in church on Wednesday or in a life group Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. But it's all the other times that we're talking about that we need to walk with the Lord hour by hour, minute by minute. Even more so than day by day. How about that? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we encourage you to participate with us on the show. There's a couple of different ways you can do that. The reason that we want to give you that opportunity is you might have a question about some of the things that the Lord is doing in your life. You might have a question about some of the things that are going around your life in the world as well, or a praise report, or a prayer request, or you might have an answer to Bible trivia. Any of those things will work. All you got to do is call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. If you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T will answer the phone. When she answers the phone, it's like winning the lottery. I mean, come on, right? Winner. And then she turns you over to me, and it's like talking to the government who wants their taxes. Ooh, that's not good. What are you going to do? Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can call us. You can text us. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You do that live during the show for answers or for questions or for whatever, just comments. And then you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org from John 3:30. The reason we do that is so that you can contact us during the show through email. Don't forget about our website. That's the place to give and to get information. And oh, by the way, there is a new picture on the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Now, as you can imagine, this is the Good Friday, the day before you're going into the weekend, and a lot of churches, and we've talked about this before, a lot of churches are doing a lot of work, a lot of preparation, and we asked you on Monday to be aware of that and prayerful for that, because that work is difficult, and this is the Super Bowl for many churches in its own way. in the context that they do a lot of preparations because they get a lot of visitors. You just want to be praying for the pastors, the people involved. You want to be praying for not just the speakers, but the people that are involved in ministry. And today when I was praying, I really got that, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, the Lord, I think it was the Lord, you know, about praying for people who have not only never heard the gospel, but those who have heard the gospel and kind of walked away. And I'm praying that both groups would really just go check it out. Just, you know, that the devil would not win that battle in their minds to keep them away from fellowship or to keep them away from church. And that the churches that are Bible-believing, born-again Christian churches would do an excellent job of communicating the great love that comes to all of us, shown through the life of Jesus Christ, given by God, received by faith, and also the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's a very important process. Be in prayer for everybody. Let me do a quick shout out to my own grandchildren because I just know they're listening. They found out about the new addition in the Spoon family today. So I want to say howdy, howdy to Adeline Joy. Adeline Joy, hi. She's my Addie bug. She's my first grandchild. She's the first person that could make me feel old. Then Isaiah Anthony, my buddy, Isaiah Anthony, he hates the Pharisees. Okay, he is my buddy, and he just got a new haircut, so he's looking styling. And also, Easton Scott is listening in on the show. Mommy making sure that Easton Scott's participating in that. So we think it's fantastic. Hi, Easton. Love you. Praying for you. You're my bud. You're my champion for Christ. So you just keep going. So that's my shout out to my grandkids. All of you can put up with that. That's okay. All right? Okay. There you go. Okie dokie. Let's get into this. We have so much to cover, and yet we have so little time. Here's the first thing we're going to talk about. John chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. I want to talk to you about being at the cusp. What does that mean? On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter came also, and he entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. I've talked about this before in a prior teaching. It's a really important text. You have Peter and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this is out of John 20, verse 1 through 5. And Mary comes running, and it's like, they stole Jesus or something. Right? It's like, that's kind of how it went. They stole Jesus or something. Something happened, right? So Peter and John go running to the tomb. I don't think that's really hard to think about Peter and John running to the tomb. If I'm Peter, I might make a comment to the Father being in heaven saying, did you have to point out that John outran me? Was that necessary? John outran him. What does that mean? Well, it either means that John was really pretty athletic or Peter was pretty not athletic. Wouldn't that be a nice way to say that? John was faster, more politically positioned, of course. He was the closest of the three and he was a pretty steady guy. Peter, slow, common, he was a common laborer, but he was impulsive and emotional. We know that just from the reading of the history of the things that he did. But the difference between the two is John got there, he saw the linen, but he didn't go in. Peter got there and shot right inside. John had faith, but he was right there. Could Jesus have really resurrected? Could it all be true? And Peter, not being as brilliant, not being as thin, apparently, or not being as in good a shape, bam, went right in. Why is that important? Because sometimes in our own lives, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Sometimes in our own lives, when we're too cautious, it can inhibit us. And in this case, it inhibited John from going in and seeing. And you don't want to be overly cautious. I'm so afraid to do anything. Don't be so afraid to do anything. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You don't have to be afraid to exist and to live. I know what's on the television. I know what's on the internet. You want to take your P's and Q's from that or from God? Who's got a better handle on what's really going to happen? You think CNN or Fox News or MSNBC know better than God does? You want to know what's going to happen tomorrow? I got an idea. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the book of Revelation. You'll find out. You'll know what's going to happen. But the idea behind this is to understand that sometimes we can be so cautious that we don't even go in. And it's not like John wasn't a believer. Of course he was a believer. He's a fantastic guy, but a little too, because sometimes you just got to take the step of faith and go in. It reminds me of when they were on the boat and Jesus is walking on the water and Peter's like, well, if that's really you, let me come out there. Now, I just want you to picture this. Peter taking his leg and putting it over the side of the boat, getting ready to walk on the water towards Jesus. How about that moment in life? And why I say that is because, look, Peter wasn't overly intellectual, and you kind of get that a little bit when you read the first and second letter that he wrote, that he's got kind of a different, you know, framework there in regards to how he teaches and how he communicates. But he had something that nobody else did. He had the willingness to get out of the boat. He had boat faith. And sometimes the Lord sets something before you, and it might even involve some level of high risk. But if it's the Lord that set it before you, here's a great idea. Get out of the boat. Take the step. But you say, but Dave, it's impossible. Well, I'm sure Peter thought for a split second, it's impossible to walk on water. And yet he did. Now, he did sink, so we're not saying he did that perfectly, but he did get out of the boat and walk on the water. Jesus was not the only person to walk on the water. That's incorrect. And my point in telling you this is sometimes you come right to it and you can be overly cautious and it's like, you know what? Faith is also spelled R-I-S-K, risk. The Lord's not going to abandon you for trying to trust him and believe him for you to do something. Some of you out there have too much hesitation, too much reservation. He won't let you fail. He loves you. That's kind of cool, isn't it? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe. This September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic.
Thrilled to have you on the show. It's my privilege. I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. By the way, if you do go to our website, we're not going to replay it right now, but if you do go to HeMustIncrease.org, you will get a picture of Bert Wayne Spoon. Bert Wayne Spoon. Is that a great name, right? Bert Wayne Spoon. Do you like that name? It's not bad, right? It's got that Bert Wayne. It's Bert Wayne. Okay. That poor doc. I feel sorry for that doc, but I feel sorry for Levi because he's going to have to learn how to adapt with a puppy. I mean, that's not going to be easy. All right, trivia question. This is going to be interesting because if you guys do this right and fast enough, I can go into this other direction on teaching, and that would be kind of cool, but I'm going to leave that in your hands. According to the Gospel of John, okay, get that? According to the Gospel of John, okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That would be John, the fourth one, right? The last words of Jesus before his death were what? According to the Gospel of John, the last words of Jesus before his death were what? If you think you know, you can call in at 972-445-0770. You can also text in to 214-210-8483. I'm giving you that opportunity to check it out. I'm pretty sure it's John 20, if I, you know, off the top of my head, somewhere in there, or 19, or right in there. It's 20 or 20. It's got to be right up there. Anyhow, if you think you know, we will do our best. I do want to say something real quickly before we even take a call. I had yesterday, Mary was on, and she was sharing about the resurrection, and I do want to let her know, I'm so sorry we had to cut her off, but it's whenever we get to a hard break or the end of the show, I don't have any choice there, especially at the end of the show. So anytime you guys call in, like within 3 or 4 minutes left, it's a tight wire that we have to cut to in order to get off because we don't get any more time and we don't want it to be cut off in the mid-sentence. So I so am sorry to Mary that we had to kind of say, gotta go. But when you're at the end of the show, you gotta go. It's one of those things. All right, do we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question? We do. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, happy Easter, David. This is Al.
Hi, Al. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing just fine.
Great. Great to hear. You ready? This is a good one.
I'm
because
ready.
This is there's something I'm going to follow this up with that people are going to be kind of like, wowzer. But here we go. The last words of Jesus Christ before his death, according to the Gospel of John, were?
Was it? It is finished?
That is correct, sir! That is 100% correct. And because you were able to answer so quickly, I'm going to cover. There are 7 last sayings of Jesus throughout the gospel. So I'm going to cover those real quickly for people. But that is
okay.
One of them. So you did an excellent job. And so if anybody gets anything out of this next segment, they can give you the acknowledgement for it. Okay.
Not at all. It's all you, brother.
All right.
Thanks for your teachings.
You got it, brother. Have a fantastic weekend.
You too.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right. So let me just – and then Joy's roommate, she gave me the exact. It's John 19:20. I knew it was like 19 or 20 or something like that. Good job, Joy. Thank you for that. Oh, I actually she said 20, but Deb said 19:30. All right. It's one of those two. The 1920s was more fun than 1930s. I got that for you. All right, let me find out which one it is, everybody, and then just get back to me. Seven last sayings of Jesus. Do you know what they are? We just got one of them. It is finished in John. Oh, it's 1930. It is 1930. That is correct. So in 1930, Jesus' last words, it is finished, which really means it's done. He preached the gospel. He worked in miracles. He obtained eternal salvation for his people. It's done, accomplished, fulfilled. The debt of sin was paid. Bam. That's what it is finished means. Okay? There's six other end sayings that Jesus gave. By the way, this reference I'm going to give to gotquestions.org, a great website to go to if you have general questions. Much more conservative and Baptist, but excellent in their academic material. Here's another of one of the last sayings. Many of you will know this one very well. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, or Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's many people believe that that's the moment where the God the Father looked at the Son and turned away. There's other people that believe he was quoting Psalm 22, verse 1. And if you go through the whole psalm, you find out that it says he doesn't turn his face away. That stuff doesn't matter. Here's what matters. What matters is Jesus fulfilled his ministry, cried out to God the Father, using Psalm 22:1, one of the most messianic psalms there is, says all of that, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet in verse 3 it says, yet, and that's the rest of the psalm. So let's remember that Jesus knew the yet was coming. Okay? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. So that's two. Here's another end time saying, or the last things that Jesus said. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's Luke 23:34. In the midst of being crucified and being cut and being humiliated by his own creation, Jesus, in his compassion, expresses forgiveness even while they were spitting on him and hitting him and abusing him. He still had compassion for his creation. Fantastic. Jesus is so much better. I mean, it's just look at that. Look at that level. And then another end timer, last thing saying, comes in this Gospel of Luke 23:43, where Jesus said to the man next to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Another one of those. And there he's telling the guy, because he said, that guy had said, remember me when you come into a kingdom, your kingdom. And Jesus goes, you're going to be in paradise with me today. Wow. I'd like that Jesus to go, we're going to paradise. Here's your ticket. Let's go. Yes, sir. I'm on that train. Thank you. All right. Another end time or last saying of Jesus. This is all to the point of death, and then there's the resurrection. So before he died, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, Luke 23:46, a willingness to surrender, even facing death. He was completely committed to honoring the Father in his earthly ministry. Remember Job, though God slay me, yet will I trust him, 13:15. It's like, wow, another example. Two other things. We did the, it is finished. The two other ones are, dear woman, here is your son and here is your mother. An expression, Jesus showing commitment to family, even in the midst of dying, he cares enough to make sure mom is covered. That's a great, mom's, I got to cover mom. Got to take care of that. I mean, wow. He's dying, thinking of others, giving forgiveness, telling the guy next to him, you're coming with me, telling John, you take care of her. I mean, this is while he's dying. The last thing Jesus said is, I am thirsty. This is not technically the last thing is it is finished. But Jesus said, is fulfilling the messianic prophecy of Psalm 69:21. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for thirst. By saying this, he was fulfilling the very last prophecy of that was within his framework to fulfill. And he's like, I am thirsty. Just think for a moment how intensely painful, just as he's literally facing death. In fact, when it says it is finished, it says he yielded his spirit. Do you know he could have not yielded his spirit, but he did. He yielded his spirit because he loves us. He made a commitment to do it, and all the way to the point of caring. Just look at this. He cares. He's quoting the Psalms. So if you think reading the Word of God is important, I don't know. How important is it to think that Jesus is dying and quote Scripture? That's number one. Number two, Father, forgive them. Jesus cares, is in compassionate, trying to extend forgiveness to those, even the ones who are hurting him. Number three, he gives a message of hope to the guy next to him as he's facing death. Number four, I commit my hands into your spirit, telling the Father, here I am, I surrender, not mine, but thy will be done. Number five, he says, make sure, John, take care of her. Mom, you listen to John. Taking care of family in the throes of death. I am thirsty, willing to fulfill and do what is required of him to fulfill the commandments and the prophecies that are written about him without even moving an inch. Willing to do it, facing death, and then finally says, it is finished. And he's done it all, and he's given it all. And the debt was paid. There are seven things that Jesus demonstrates in the midst of his death that all of us should be like going, that's impressive. Now, he did all this for the joy that was set before him. And if you know this, the whole next hour is going to be geared that way. But just think of the power of Jesus, you know, standing in Scripture in the face of death, forgiving people, you know, telling the one guy, giving him hope, you're going to be in paradise with me. The guy's next to him dying. Jesus is like, I'm giving you hope. Surrendering to the Father's will, taking care of his family, fulfilling prophecy, and then yielding it all, saying, I am finished. And Jesus did all of that for one major theological reason. And for one major not-so-theological reason. He did it all because he loves us. Like, I need somebody to love me at that level. I'm terrible. I can't believe. And look at these seven things that Jesus did while in the throes of death for the sake of others, because that's how much he cared. Isn't that just amazing? I'm telling you, everything he did, Jesus was just Jesus Christ in all things that he might have the preeminence. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. In all things that he might have first place. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now listen, I've done a lot of interviews, and every once in a while you do an interview with somebody who's legendary, and he doesn't even know why he's legendary. And when I tell him, he's going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. The legendary Josh McDowell with us, co-authoring the book with his son, Sean, The Beauty of Intolerance, joins us live. Josh, are you there with us?
It's sure better to join you live than dead.
I love it.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.